Welcome to the Second Court of Appeals this afternoon. You are the only case on our docket for oral argument today. So we will have the clerk call the case and we will proceed.
Court will now call Childress Engineering Services Incorporated versus Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company as subject to Vantage Homes of Texas LLC. Next court, which is Mr. Richard Schellenhammer will argue for the appellant. Mr. Jay Harris will argue for the appellate.
Mr. Schellenhammer.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. Your Honors, this case on appeal has two issues. And the first one is whether or not a certificate of merit is required when a licensed professional engineer is sued for indemnity. And the second issue is, if it is required, did the trial court abuse its discretion in denying Childress Engineering's motion to dismiss? I think it's important to give the court a bit of the factual background that was involved in a two-tier case. In 2002, Childress Engineering Services entered into a master services agreement with Meritage Homes. And Childress's scope of work was to design foundations and engineering specifications for homes that Meritage would build in the DFW area. After that time, Childress provided designs for multitudes of homes that were built by Meritage. Unfortunately for both Meritage and Childress, Lindsay Kirk, who purchased a home for Meritage, complained about the house and its performance and said the house wasn't built in a good and workmanlike manner, the quality was not as represented, and she sought damages for both the actions and inactions of Meritage Homes and Meritage's subcontractors and engineers. She sued Meritage only for negligence, malice, gross negligence, breach of contract, breach of warranty, DTPA, fraud, and fraud in the inducement. Now, during the pendency of this lawsuit, Meritage did in fact make a demand to Childress for a defense and indemnity. Childress denied that demand because there was no certificate of merit or any allegations specifically related to the design of the foundation, which was Childress's scope of work. In addition to demands on Childress, demands were also made for Tealstone that actually built the foundation, and the subcontractor who did the drainage. Prior to going to arbitration, the case settled. And National Mutual Insurance, the appellee here before you, stepped into the shoes of Meritage as subrogee and sued now Childress and originally Tealstone for a defense and indemnity for claims related to Childress's work. Now, there's a split among the Court of Appeals on whether or not a certificate of merit is necessary for where the plaintiff does not necessarily allege a negligence suit. And this is all based on the 2009 amendments to the Texas Civil Practice and Remedies Code, section 150.002. And there's a couple things that we need to take a look at today, Your Honors. And the first, I've put a handout that has paragraph 17, which is the indemnity. And the indemnity is a broad form indemnity. And since it's in 2002, essentially The requirements are, must be conspicuous, it must meet the express negligence rule, and finally there has to be a nexus. Now, in this particular indemnity, if you take a look towards the center of that indemnity clause, it says, arising in any manner, directly or indirectly, out of or in connection with or in the course of or incidental to any of Childress Engineering's work. Childress Engineering's work was the design of the foundations, not the construction of the foundation, not anything ancillary to the design of the foundation. Their scope was just the design. Now, Chapter 150.002 of the Texas Civil Practice and Remedies Code deals with a gatekeeping function for suits against licensed professionals, whether they be architects, engineers, or land surveyors. I've also given you a handout, Your Honors, with the Certificate of Merit that's applicable to this case. And just pointing it out, Section A, Paragraph A, in an action or arbitration proceeding for damages arising out of the provision of professional services by a licensed or registered professional, the plaintiff shall be required to file with the complaint an affidavit of a third-party licensed architect, licensed professional engineer, registered landscape architect, or registered professional land surveyor. In this case, the claims, whether they're indemnity claims or any other claims, arises out of Childress's professional services as a design engineer, the engineer of record for this foundation design.
But it seems to me that you're trying to have it both ways. You're saying that a certificate of merit is required because it's arising out of your work as an engineer, but the indemnity provision is not applicable because it's not arising out of the manner of your work as an engineer.
No, Your Honor, I must have misspoke.
Or I misunderstood.
What we are saying is because the claims for indemnity arise out of Childress's professional services, there must be included with the original petition that Nationwide filed against Childress a certificate of merit.
Okay, and since they're asserting an indemnity cause of action, what do you envision that certificate of merit would look like and who would provide it?
Your Honor, that's an excellent question, and it has to be an engineer, and the only thing that engineer would have to show or have as a certificate of merit that there is some nexus between Childress's design and the damages that were asserted in the original lawsuit. If you go down to subparagraph B, I think it captures what we're talking about here.
But isn't that a question of law? I mean, why does that take an expert to look at the pleadings in the prior case and look at what was asserted and look at this indemnity contract and see if that's true or not true?
Well, Your Honor, because it's...
A certificate of merit is going to be based, if a certificate of merit is required, it's based on allegations. It's not based on proof. It's based on pleading. So why isn't that a question of law?
Your Honor, we believe that based upon the case law of what the nature of the obligations are between a professional engineer or a licensed professional and and another person or entity, if you take a look at the Everett versus Price Waterhouse Coopers case, there is at page 5 of Parker County Veterinarian Clinic versus GSBS and Averill versus PricewaterhouseCoopers, it states, a contract for professional services gives rise to a duty by the professional to exercise the degree of care, skill, and competence that reasonably competent members of the profession would exercise under similar circumstances. We held that when a cause of action is based upon the alleged failure to perform a professional service, the issue is whether the professional exercised that degree of care, skill, and diligence that professionals of ordinary skill and knowledge commonly possess and exercise. Thus, even if the parties have a contractual relationship, the cause of action is tort rather than for a breach of contract. And we believe that is, in fact, the nature of the relationship between Meritage and Childress, and therefore Nationwide as the subrogee of Meritage Homes. In fact, this court, in looking at the 2005 Chapter 150, has made a decision that if it's a pure contract claim, a certificate of merit is not required. But we believe that we can distinguish between that case, which is Parker County versus GSBS Bettenhorst. That case was against a architect was sued for a breach of contract because within that contract, they specifically had a clause that says we will check all of the statutes and all of the necessary zoning in order to build this veterinarian clinic. They clearly did not do that. This Court of Appeals, looking at those facts, stated that because they had that obligation and not just general architectural scope, that case arose with breach of contract. In 2009, the amendment said the affidavit shall set forth specifically for each theory of recovery. The indemnity, there's no carve out for indemnity. There's and that is the theory of recovery. So based
let me ask you this. If the damages in the underlying litigation did not arise in any manner directly or indirectly out of or in connection with the course of or incidental to any of Childress's engineering work, isn't that a defense to an indemnity cause of action?
Yes, Your Honor, it is.
Okay, so you're saying that the plaintiff has to disprove your defense through a certificate of merit to proceed with their cause of action.
No, Your Honor. All he has to do is show some nexus, some...
And why can't that be accomplished by looking at the pleadings?
Because the allegations of... in the pleadings in the case between Nationwide and Childress is based upon a purely contractual claim.
But what you told me you envisioned the certificate of merit looking like was having an engineer say that the claims in the first suit were arising out of Childress Engineering's work.
Yes, Your Honor.
And I'm saying, why do we have to have an engineer to look at claims? Why do we have to have it doesn't make sense to me that we have to have an engineer to look at claims that were pleaded and asserted in the trial court. That would be something a lawyer or a judge would do, to look and see if claims arise out of claims that were pleaded are related to or allege fault directly or indirectly or in connection with the work of Childress Engineering. And that's where I'm not following you. I'm not following you on why an expert engineer is needed.
simply because 150 as a gatekeeper requires that if you're suing for professional, if you're suing a licensed professional under any theory of recovery,
except for breach of contract.
Except for breach of contract, which is generally related to claims for professional fees, Your Honor. But there's no carve-out because the indemnity flows back to Childress's work. If it comes back to Childress's work, it is in essence a professional service. It arises out of that. And therefore, we have taken the position and submitted to the court that a certificate of merit would in fact be necessary.
Judge, I see the time's up. I did have a question.
Absolutely.
When you started, Mr. Schellenheimer, you said that Childress objected that there was no certificate. And when was that objection made, and what was the status of the pleadings as between the parties when that objection was made?
The very first objection was made prior to the lawsuit even being filed.
All right. So at the time that this objection was made, there had been a suit filed by Ms. Kirk.
Not initially, Your Honor. Even before the lawsuit was filed.
So the first thing happens with
Meritage got a DTPA
Meritage
claim.
Was when we get a DTPA letter, we're going to make a demand for indemnification.
Yes, Your Honor.
Providing of a defense to Childress.
Yes, Your Honor.
And it was at the time that DTPA letter was written that the first objection was made by your client that there's no 150 certificate.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor.
At that point, there's not any pleadings.
Well, Your Honor, we made a first objection then, saying, if you sue us, we need a certificate of merit. There, subsequently, when there was a lawsuit was actually filed and an arbitration, we got another demand and answered at that time that there's no 150 because we weren't sued. We weren't part of that case.
That's my point. And in addition to that, after, so your client, Childress Engineering, knew that there had been a claim filed by Kirk's because they were first brought into this matter by a reference to a demand letter under DTPA.
Yes, Your Honor.
And then after that, a lawsuit was filed. It went through the process of going to arbitration and a settlement made.
Yes, Your Honor.
And then after that, there was yet another lawsuit filed, this time by the insurance company for Meritage. And in that lawsuit, you continued to object that there wasn't any certificate filed.
Yes, Your Honor.
So your position all along has not been anything in terms of defending on the merits of any claim that there was a crack in the foundation that caused the damages, as far as Kirk was concerned, but rather you haven't given us a certificate.
Yes, Your Honor.
And your client participated in the second lawsuit in terms of the nationwide claim against Childress in discovery and in additional arbitration?
Not an additional arbitration, Your Honor, but we have, in fact, since we were named in the lawsuit, we have fully participated and, in addition, filed a motion to dismiss.
All right. I have the sequence. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Could you please add an extra minute to Mr. Harris's time?
Good afternoon. How are you doing today? I'll be perfectly honest. This is a matter of, I'm sorry, my name is Jay Harris. I'm here on behalf of Walters, Bolito & Crane, and our client is Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company. This is a a matter of first impression, it seems, in the state of Texas. There is no reported case law. There is no other case that I've found or that Mr. Shellhammer has found which is identical or even remotely similar. So
just
I do believe
what we, just what we wanted to hear.
Yes, I'm sure you did. So we do appreciate the court's time in letting us come up here and discuss it with you. The first thing is the purpose of Chapter 150, which is what we need to keep in mind. The purpose and intent is paramount in the legislative or is in interpreting a statute. And it's been repeatedly said that the purpose was, as Justice Heck put in his dissent in Jaster versus Comet Construction, the manifest object of Chapter 150 is to require a prima facie showing of liability at the time certain professionals are sued for malpractice. That is, the penultimate purpose of a certificate of merit is to assess early in the litigation process the purported merit of a malpractice claim. That's not this type of lawsuit. We're not suing them for breach of contract for failure to perform in a good and workmanlike manner. We're not suing them saying you didn't meet a certain standard of professional care or precise engineering or anything along the lines of a malpractice claim. What we are suing them for is for them to honor the contractual promise they made to defend and indemnify Meritage for claims, even sole negligence, of Meritage that have some nexus with their work. Their work doesn't have to be poor. It doesn't have to be bad. It just simply has to have some nexus with their work. That's what is implicit within a sole negligence claim. I know that sounds weird, but actually the 14th Court of Appeals has discussed this. It's on page 13 of our brief, or at least is where it starts. The plain language of the indemnity agreement does not require the showing of any improper or unlawful act or omission by the indemnitor, which in this case would be Childress, in order for the indemnity, Meritage, now Nationwide, to be entitled to indemnity. It doesn't even need to be direct or proximate causal relationship. Goes on then to discuss the words relate to, in connection with, arising out of, and says these are but for. All there must be is some tangential relationship, meaning you just draw a line, and if it touches on their work to the claims for which they're seeking indemnity, then that's the but-for causation. That's all that's necessary. So that's what we're here, and that's what we've argued. That's the basis for our claim. Now, if you look at the indemnity agreement, it bears this out. As he has discussed before, so I won't rehash too much the language. It says, Childress Wallace shall fully defend and indemnify Meritage for any claims arising in any manner, directly or indirectly, out of or in connection with, to the work and obligations as provided in the agreement of Childress, regardless of whether those claims involve or are limited to the sole negligence of Meritage. That was the contractually agreed, contractually negotiated agreement. Promise.
So it's your position that basically any claim having anything to do with the foundation, since Childress designed the foundation, would trigger this indemnity provision?
No, if the lawsuit, and again, that's a very good question because it pulls me right into the next issue, which is the allegations in the underlying lawsuit control. If it had just said, whoever constructed this foundation, whoever built it, we wouldn't be involving Childress. It has the words design in there. The only party that designed it, admittedly, is Childress. That's that tangential but-for causation. Now, earlier, the court had asked, what would the certificate of merit look like and why would it be necessary? There's one other thing to keep in mind, that in Texas, underneath an indemnity provision, when you are determining whether there's a duty to defend, you're limited to the contract, the indemnity provision that is, and the allegations underlying lawsuit. A certificate of merit would arguably be extrinsic evidence, which would not be admissible. I don't know how Texas appellate court or Texas Supreme Court would look at that, but based on the current rules, that touches on the actual specific liability factors.
You're saying that interjecting the certificate of merit would be the antithesis of the eight corners rule?
I believe it would be in violation of it, yes. It would be someone coming in, talking about the liability factors, and thrusting that into the decision of whether or not that indemnity provision applies. So that's part of the duty to defend analysis that goes along with this indemnity provision. The lawsuit that we filed, if you look in the record, it limits the language to failure to honor your contractual obligations. You breach the contract. At no point do we ever allege, and which is what the certificate of merit is based on, the allegations in the petition, that they failed to provide proper design work or failed to provide any sort of engineering service. We've said you promised and agreed to defend and indemnify Meritage, and you refused to do so, even when the allegations clearly implicate or some general nexus to your work. That is the underlying lawsuit. The lawsuit is pure questions of law. Is the indemnity agreement enforceable? Does it meet the conspicuousness requirement? Does it meet the express negligence test? Those are pure questions of law. It's an interpretation of a contract. If what engineer / lawyer could file a certificate of merit and not be objected to on the basis of admissibility? Pure questions of law are reserved for the court to decide. No expert, no matter how well qualified, can opine on those. Simply can't. That's Texas, as far as I know, Texas Rule Law 101. So again, the certificate of merit isn't going to be talking about whether their work was substandard. It would be as to the merits of my suit. The merits of my suit don't involve the sufficiency of their work. What it does involve is whether or not that indemnity provision is enforceable. And then if it's determined to be enforceable against the backdrop of Ms. Kirk's lawsuit, those allegations, does it trigger a duty to defend, or did it? And two, is Meritage, based on those allegations, do they have potential liability for something that has a general nexus to the work performed by Childress? Those are the questions. Both of those are questions of law. The reasonableness of the settlement is based upon, in essence, what would be submitted to the court via affidavits or evidentiary record or whatever would be necessary at that point. But the preliminary questions are those questions of law, enforceability of the indemnity provision, and against the backdrop of the allegations alone, did that indemnity provision apply? There is no question about whether they did their job right or whether they did their job wrong. That is the fallacy in their argument. It's repeated throughout. And again, we don't need to prove anything along those lines. The Texas rule has been fairly clear, and it seems pretty consistent, and that is that a party seeking indemnity in connection with the settlement of litigation must show its potential liability in the underlying litigation and establish that the settlement was reasonable. The reasonableness standard in these situations can be as little as an affidavit from the defending attorney, the defense attorney in that suit, the one that entered into the settlement agreement, and the reasons he did so. We do not have to prove that they committed malpractice. We don't have to prove that they breached a negligence standard. We don't have to show that they didn't provide good and workmanlike work. All we have to do is show there's some nexus between the detriment for which we seek indemnity and the work that they performed. That's it.
Mr. Harris.
Yes, sir.
At the time of the initiation of this complaint matter with Ms. Kirk, and at the time that the first notice of her dissatisfaction had progressed enough to the point where she'd hired an attorney and had sent a demand letter on the Deceptive Trade Practice Act. If we assume the totally different from the facts in this case, that at that point in time, Childress came into the lawsuit and assumed the defense and was providing indemnity, then Childress would have had the protection of Section 150 against the Kirk claims.
I believe that would be correct, yes.
So the proper place for there to be an assertion under your position of the requirement of the filing of a certificate would have been had Childress chosen to honor the indemnity and providing of defense in defending against the Kirk claim.
I believe that would be correct, Your Honor, in the sense that if they had assumed their defense and indemnity obligations when the Kirk lawsuit was pending, and plaintiff's counsel at that time decided to add them as either a named defendant or as even a responsible third party, I believe at that point they could seek the Chapter 150 protection rule and require a certificate of merit. And if it wasn't filed by that plaintiff's counsel, who, by the way, who's seeking liability at that point against Childress for an affirmative act that they took. And that affirmative act would be the failure to design properly that concrete foundation. So that would be the most, I would believe, the best place or the most logical place for the certificate of merit to come into play.
Again, I understand I'm giving you hypothetical now, but I'm just looking for, in terms of the logic of what your position is concerning the ultimate goal of the legislature and the enactment of the certificate requirements and its structure of how to proceed against a professional in this manner. And if legislature's goal would be to try to shorten the litigation, it looks to me like the litigation would have been considerably shortened had there been a recognition of the indemnity contract and the providing of a defense. And at that point, the issue fell strictly to what is it wrong with the design of the foundation?
I agree, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
So I want to go back to the certificate of merit just briefly. It would seem that requiring a professional engineer to come in and opine about something we don't allege or we don't claim in any fashion or any manner is somewhat, one, superfluous and kind of creates an absurdity just because there's the name engineering on it. And if in the underlying Kirk lawsuit, Meritage had brought Childress in via a third-party claim, they could have sought contribution and indemnity and potentially not had to file a certificate of merit. If the plaintiffs, then once they're brought in, had filed a certificate of merit, Meritage was under no obligation to do so. But again, the certificate of merit in this situation is to assess, and the reason behind it is to assess the actual viability, whether or not this is just mere accusations that are unfounded or if there's actually some substance to the claim. Our claim, again, is defense and indemnity. It is not based on a negligence or malpractice standard. It is solely limited to whether or not that's an enforceable provision under Texas law, again, question of law by the court, and applying it to the Kirk allegations, as they have consistently stated, involving the design of the foundation, whether or not it applies, and thereby triggers Childress's duty to defend and duty to indemnify. That is the sole sum of our lawsuit. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Schellhammer, I'm sure you have some rebuttal.
I do, Your Honor.
Justice Meyer, I do want to address one thing. As far as if Childress had agreed to indemnify and hold harmless, we would still be suing in Meritage or defending in Meritage's claim. It would be entirely in the purview of the plaintiff's lawyer whether or not he actually sued Childress for any cause of action, including negligence. It's only if Childress is a named party by that plaintiff that a certificate of merit would in fact would be required under the 150. So if we went in and Childress went ahead and indemnified and held harmless in that original suit, It wouldn't change the fact that potentially no certificate of merit would ever have to be filed. So as far, I do agree.
You mean in the context of the Kirk suit?
Yes, Your Honor.
A direct claim for the design of the foundation?
Yes, Your Honor.
I understand. I understood that.
Okay. As far, I do agree with one thing, that this is a case of first impression. The DuPont Nemours Shell case that was counsel referred to is not a certificate of merit. It's not a claim between professional against a professional design professional. There is, in fact, no case on point. However, there are a number of cases, including a case out of this Court of Appeals since 2009, in which other claims and causes of action, theories of recovery, have required certificates of merit. And from this court in 2014, Foundation Assessment versus O'Connor, this was a claim for civil conspiracy and fraud in which the court required a certificate of merit. There wasn't a negligence claim at all in that case. In Dunham versus Sherwin-Williams, which is out of the Houston Court of Appeals, the causes of action were tortious interference with contract, business disparagement. Once again, no negligence claims against the engineer and design professional, yet the court determined that a certificate of merit was required. And we, frankly, are asking the court, because of the import of 150, to require a certificate of merit as a gatekeeping function in a claim for indemnity. Thank you, Your Honors.
Counsel, thank you very much for your arguments and your briefing today, and I'm glad you agree on one thing, and that is that it's a case of first impression with no law out there whatsoever. So it'll be a very interesting and challenging case for us, and we appreciate your help. As I mentioned, through your briefs and your arguments, your case is submitted and you're free to go about your business. That will be adjourned.